jobs for the citizens of the community, and he always reported back to prison before Sunday night was over. Now, the warden of the prison was thinking of remodeling his kitchen, and in fact, he'd done a large amount of the work himself, but what he lacked the skills to do was to build a set of kitchen cupboards and a large countertop, which he had promised his wife. So he called Eric into his office and asked him if he would complete the job for him. This will go down really well with the parole board, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, he said. It could mean the difference between your freedom and not. But alas, Eric refused. And he told the warden, "I'd really like to help you, but counterfeiting is what got me into the prison in the first place." Bit of a poor joke, but it just introduces the subject that we're going to be looking at this morning, which is the whole subject of freedom. I wonder if I could have the PowerPoint up on the screen, please. This term at Aylsham Community Church, we have been looking on our Sunday mornings at what it means to follow Jesus. Why? Because as Christians, we believe that when Jesus says, "Follow me," it is the most amazing invitation that anyone can ever receive, because it's an invitation that is wide open. It's not just for an exclusive few. And so we believe the single most important thing that we need to hear for ourselves and to share with others, that Jesus invites us to follow him. So this morning, just for a little while before the baptisms, we're going to be looking at the claims of the Bible that following Jesus is the key to living a life of complete freedom. Jesus said this, and we've just sung some of these words in the last song. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and enjoy it to the full." And then he said, "So if the Son sets you free," and that was Jesus referring to himself, Jesus said, "If I set you free, you will be really free." So what is freedom, really? And how can Jesus offer us a freedom that no one else can? If you asked most people what they thought freedom was, they might say something like being able to do whatever you want, whenever you want to, wherever you want to, with whomever you please. They might say something like, well, it's a life that isn't constrained or limited by anything. It's the opposite of being imprisoned or enslaved. But then if you ask those same people if they thought that sounded like their idea of what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, I wonder what they'd say. Freedom and being a Christian. Probably not some people's ideas of one and the same thing. They would say, well, surely being a Christian is about sticking to a list of things that you should and shouldn't do, isn't it? That doesn't sound like freedom, does it? I wonder if someone could help me just to illustrate this for a moment. If I could have a volunteer, it could be anyone. Otherwise, I will have to pick on someone, of course, which I'd rather not do. But it looks like you're leaving me no choice. It's not a hard thing. Jack, do you think you could come up and help me? Thank you, that would be great. Let's have a round of applause for Jack, please. I would like you to stand just here, please, Jack, up on the stage. Probably come round the side.
Mind the cable.
Yeah, mind the cable. So if you could just stand there. Okay. If you could just hold your arms out like that. Thank you. Kind of together a little bit, that's it. So as I said, for a lot of people, their idea of being a Christian and following Jesus is about doing things. So does that sound like freedom to you? Well, let's have a look, shall we? So, if you're a Christian, surely you've got to do stuff. Like, you've got to go to church. Oh, just drop my mic. So you do have to go to church. You do have to read your Bible a lot if you're a Christian, don't you? You do have to pray. How you doing, Jack? Feeling good? Feeling free? Yeah, you do have to do lots of good things if you're a Christian, don't you? If you can just tuck that between your legs, hold that there, that's great. You do Do not lie. Do not steal. How's that feeling, Jack? Feeling like you got lots of freedom there. Okay, thank you. I think we've kind of proved our point there. Can we have a round of applause for Jack for not dropping anything? That's amazing. What you don't know, but Jack knows, is there's about 8 other boxes behind there. But I took pity on him. Do go to church. Do read the Bible every day. Do pray. Do good works. Do follow the 10 Commandments. Do wear sandals. Do give up the hope of ever having fun ever again. That's some people's idea about what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. And that if you struggle to do those things well enough and for long enough, then God might just be pleased with you enough to let you into heaven when you die. But then you're left with that really nagging feeling that if heaven is just an eternity of doing all that same stuff, you're not really sure if you want to end up there. That doesn't sound much like a life of freedom to me. But the good news is that following Jesus, the Bible tells us, is not about struggling to try and earn God's favor and love and acceptance by doing things. Christianity is not defined by the word do. Following Jesus is not about doing the right thing, but about accepting what Jesus has done for us. So what do I mean by that? Well, let me just give you the lowdown on what the Bible tells us about God and about us. God is the perfection of everything good and loving and powerful and wise and just. And we are not. God created humankind out of the overflow of his love to enjoy life on earth together with each other and together with him. He knows each one of us, loves each one of us, and has a perfect plan for each one of our lives. And at the very center of that perfect plan is a living relationship with him. But we said no thank you. We all turn our backs on God, the Bible says, putting ourselves at the very center of everything in our lives instead of putting God in his rightful place there. And the Bible calls that sin, and it says there are terrible consequences of that for us, that it's the root of every pain and suffering on earth, that it separates us from God forever. Not just a little bit. If I could take that chair as far as I could in that direction, and as far as I could in that direction, that still wouldn't be enough to say how much our sin separates us from God. And it carries the penalty of death and eternal separation from God for everyone. And because God is perfectly just, he demands that that penalty is paid in full. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, why does Simon look so pleased when he's telling us this bad news? Well, I'm pleased because I know that's not the end of the story. Because although God is perfectly just and says the penalty for all the wrong things that have ever been done needs to be paid, the Bible tells us that God's perfection also extends to his love. And his perfect love says that even though we deserve to pay the penalty for our rebellion against God, for turning our back on him, that he would rather choose to pay that penalty for us. And so Jesus, who we've been singing about this morning, the only Son of God, comes from heaven. He steps into our world. He's born as a human being. He lives a life perfectly demonstrating how God intended for each of us to live, connected to God, enjoying relationship with him, living God's way. And then, having lived a perfect life, he chooses to die in our place on the cross. Again, we've just been singing about that. And as he does, he forever stands between us and the horror of God's holy wrath for our rebellion. And he bears on himself the full weight of God's judgment that we should have faced. And he pays the penalty for us with his own blood once and for all on the cross, Jesus, the Bible tells us, smashes, he completely obliterates for all eternity everything that has the power to rob us of the freedom that God has intended us to live in. And then to prove what he has done, God raised Jesus back to life again. He did not stay dead. On the third day, God raised him back to life again, living proof of the victory that he had won for us. That is good news. That's why I look happy to be talking about it. That is what God has done for us. And that is the key to understanding what it means to follow Jesus. It's accepting and believing and receiving all that God has done for us way before he asks us to do anything for him. Through Jesus, God makes the way for us to come back to him, not as fearful servants, but as deeply loved sons and daughters. And included in this amazing adoption package is a life of incredible freedom for all those who choose to believe in Jesus and trust him and follow him. So what does Jesus promise us the freedom to do? I just want to go through a few things and then we're going to wrap it up. First of all, Jesus gives us freedom to live with a clear conscience. Do you know, there aren't many people, are there, that need telling that they're not perfect. One or two maybe. Maybe you know some of them, but not many. We all live in the knowledge of our mistakes and our shortcomings, don't we? And guilt can be a really heavy thing. But in Jesus, God offers us forgiveness. If we own up to him of our need for it. And when he forgives, the Bible says God breaks the power of guilt over us. He separates us from it as far as the east is from the west. And though we're not made instantly perfect, and yes, we still need to take responsibility for our actions, but the Bible says, for those who belong to Jesus, there is no more condemnation, no more weight of guilt, no more, no more. Jesus brings freedom to live with a clear conscience. Jesus brings freedom to live with confidence. You know, there is nothing more paralyzing than fear, is there? Fear of the unknown, fear of death, fear of being alone. The Bible says that the perfect antidote to fear is knowing God's love, his perfect love for us. God is love, and there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. Jesus has died our death for us, and he offers us forgiveness and eternal life in exchange, a life of unimaginable perfection beyond death, let alone the life that he offers us right now. Jesus, we have no more need to fear death anymore. Jesus promises to all who follow him that he will never, ever leave us. We never need to fear being alone. And he holds eternity in his hands. We may not know what the future holds, but he does. And he promises to prepare every day for us and lead us through each one. Jesus offers freedom to live with confidence. He offers freedom to live without shame. There are so many things and people in this life, aren't there, that drive home the message, whether they mean to or not, that we're not good enough. You know, you cannot follow Jesus for any length of time without realizing how valuable and special you are to God. It was the heart of everything Jesus taught and at the heart of everything that Jesus did. You know, to follow Jesus is to no longer have to try hard to be something that you're not. Because you know God could not love you any more or any less than he does right now, regardless of how good or special others may say or think you are or not. This is what the Bible says. Listen to God who created you. He says, "Don't be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You are precious to me. You are honored. And I love you." God chose Jesus to take our shame on himself so that we could know that we are dearly loved children that he wants to adopt into his own family. Jesus gives freedom to live with the power to change. You know, freedom isn't just about being free from other things on the outside stopping us doing things that we want to do. Freedom is also about something on the inside. A freedom to live the kind of life that I was meant to live, to be the person that I was created to be. You know, we want to live, don't we, with a happy, optimistic attitude. But often we don't. We want to stop yelling at our kids or our parents, but we just keep on doing it anyway. We want to be the kind of person who manages anger really well, but we aren't. We'd like to think that we've become an unselfish person, but really, we haven't. We're not free on the inside to change. Wills become enslaved to our appetites. We find ourselves making decisions simply to feed what we think we need. Thoughts become obsessed with unfulfilled desires. Whatever we have, it's never enough. We're always dissatisfied. Emotions become slaves to our circumstances. We're not free on the inside without Jesus. But when we follow Jesus, the Bible says he downloads his life and his power in the person of the Holy Spirit to begin to change us from the inside out and to help us live the life we were meant to live, a life of freedom. It's not about trying harder, but about letting God change us by his remarkable power. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God, the Bible says, has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. That's Jesus. And his power is made perfect in our weakness. Jesus offers freedom to live with power to change. And last of all, freedom to live with purpose and destiny. When we follow Jesus, we see that life is not random, but it has meaning and purpose. And that is to know him and to enjoy him and to follow him. That's unbelievably fulfilling because it's what we were created for. Now, they're just a few bullet points of some of the freedom that Jesus brings to us as we follow him. So how do we find freedom in Jesus? How do we find freedom in Jesus? If you know, the great irony about this freedom is that we only find it when we surrender. To become truly free, you've got to surrender. Now that goes against everything that we think we know about being free, doesn't it? Wars are not won by surrendering. The Champions League or Ryder Cups or world title belts are not won by surrendering. The Bible says surrender is the only way to find freedom. It's what baptism is all about that we're going to witness in just a few minutes. It's about saying to God, you're God and I'm not. I recognize that. Do you know what? I'm really pleased about that. It's about saying, I don't only just believe it, but I want to put you, God, back in your rightful place as king of my life. Baptism is about, we're saying, I'm choosing to put to death my old selfish life. So we're going to gather around that baptistry in a few minutes. And these young people who are going to get baptized, they're going to be lowered, fully immersed under the water that's in there. And that's symbolic. As they go into the water of going into a grave. That old life, they're saying, is dying, no more. And that as then they're raised up out of the water, what we're saying is, now Jesus, will you give us new life? Just as Jesus was raised to new life by God, these young people are going to be saying, now God, we want to live for you. Please come and put your life and your power and your love and everything that's good about you inside of me, that I can be the person that you have created me to be. That is a life of freedom, with power to change, to live with confidence, free from fear, free from guilt, free from shame, a life full of hope and meaning, a life given to knowing and enjoying God for all eternity. And in a moment, we're going to hear from each of the young people we're about baptizing today. That's just a heads up for you guys to get ready. And we're going to hear from them what it is that's brought them to that place of making that decision of wanting to live a new life for Jesus. But before we do that, I just want us to pray. And I want to offer anyone here this morning who's never taken that same step of saying to God, I realize that you're God and I'm not. And instead of putting you at the center of my life, I've put myself at the center of my life. And I've turned my back on you. And I see that's wrong. And I want to change. And I want to put you back in the rightful place in my life. Maybe you've never heard this good news about new life and freedom in Jesus before. Well, the truth is you can find it for yourself today. And if you want to make that decision, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that will ask God to come and make that a reality for you. Perhaps you've never really thought about it before. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'd like to find out the chance to get to know more about this, to ask more questions. I'm not really sure if I believe what you say, but I'd like to find out. Well, that's great too. And we've got something that's coming up at the end of October called Christianity Explored. And it's 7 evenings, 1 a week, just to get together around coffee and tea and cake, and just to look at some of the things that the Bible says about who Jesus claimed to be. It's a chance to ask lots of questions. It's a chance to air your views and think things through with different people. If you're at that kind of stage where you're not really sure, we'd really love to invite you to come along to Christianity Explored. We've got some invitations. They're out in the foyer. They look like that. They've got all the details on them. We'd be delighted if you take one and would like to come on Christianity Explored with us. We've also got some little booklets that just talk a little bit more about the claims of Jesus called Why Jesus. They're also out in the foyer. You'd be very welcome to take one of those if you would like to find out some more. But now I'm going to pray. And I'd just like to invite you to join in with me. And if you want to respond to the invitation of Jesus to follow him, to receive his new life, I'm just going to pray a prayer, and I'll just invite you to echo it in your heart as I pray it. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life to save me and set me free. I'm sorry for turning my back on you. And I'm sorry for every wrong thing I've done or thought or said. Please would you forgive me? Thank you for calling me to turn from my old life and follow you into new life. I cannot do it on my own, but thank you that you have made the way for me to come back to you. God, I want to die to my old life and live for you. Thank you for the amazing life you offer. So please, now, would you come and put to death my old life and raise me to new life in the power of Jesus? Amen.